Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Both Sides of the Mic, The Real His and Hers Unfiltered. This is the show where we try not to pick sides, and Rory's going to always make sure I'm not always right. And we're not here to protect your feelings over your growth, and we're not going to let gender off the hook, okay? We give you both sides. That's the point of the show, because if you actually want to understand how to make a relationship work, and that's why I want to help you guys improve your relationships, you need the full picture, not just the half that makes you feel validated. So that's our mission, two perspectives, real conversations that most relationship content isn't going to tell you about, okay? And I have to tell you guys, listen, I am feeling incredible today and like every day lately for a really long time. And that's even on a severe lack of sleep today, okay? And it's not from the shot that everybody's standing in line for. I took some balance oil this morning. So while everyone's out here lining up for shots that cost a fortune and wreck your body, I'm taking one that actually works. Omega's doing what omegas do. My brain is sharp. My inflammation is handled. My mood is right. So I'm going to choose my shot every single time. If you know you've been taking the wrong shots, wink, wink, get into the show notes because I shared my link down there. Okay. You're welcome. So let me bring in the man on the other side of the mic. He is the podcast guru, the host of Power of Man, and he brings the masculine perspective with zero apology and full conviction. Please welcome my co-host, Rory. If I knew how to do the things, like I wish I could do the clapping hands, like, yay, you know how they do that? It's so cheesy, but like it would be fun.
It would be fun. I mean, if you want to just,
Yeah,
that's
just
okay with
clap
me because
myself.
you and I both believe in not editing.
Right.
So I don't want to do anything that's
Mess
going to like get away from the
it up.
core belief of podcasting. So I do want to say thank you for, inviting me again. Every week I'm surprised to get the invite. I never know, but I also want to say that, taking on the role of being the guy that gets to try to keep Brandon from being right all the time.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I feel for her husband more and more every single week. Okay. So, Ben, brother, heart out to you.
Oh.
No idea how you're doing
Yeah.
it. No, it's a blast. And you're very open-minded, actually, for being as opinionated as you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Bring up those core values and ethics, and there's not really any bend. There's not really any open thinking, but outside of everything else, absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny because everybody's always telling Ben he's lucky. Like people that don't even know, they're like, oh my God, you're so lucky. Yeah. Or your husband's lucky. No, y'all. Like he has earned it. It is definitely not luck, and nobody understands full throttle Brandon Lynette, like to live with me and to have to deal with all that. So yeah, he is the hero of the story. Every single time. Every single time. But you guys, today's topic. So I think I told you guys last week, I literally this is how easy it is to have a podcast. Okay. You go to Google and you search like what are the most searched topics here? Like I'm giving you guys some insider tips. Most searched topics in the genre. And today's topic came out number one, and I was kind of hesitant because I don't know. Outside of like 20-year-old Brandon, I don't know how much I can bring as far as like experience, but then I'm like, no, there's definitely we got it. And so today's topic, am I in a toxic relationship? Okay. It is the number one most Googled relationship question on the internet, on several search browsers. So that tells me two things. Number one, a lot of people are hurting. And number two, a lot of people already know the answer. They are just looking for someone to confirm it so they don't have to be the one who decided or pulled the trigger. So today that's what we're doing. We're not signing off on your bullshit, okay? And because it's what I have to do, ladies, obviously, I'm coming for you first, and it's because I love you too much to let you skip your part in this. So, the question is to my ladies, even guys at this point, but like, how long have you been wondering if your relationship is toxic? Because you don't Google things that feel fine. You don't lay awake at 2 a.m. asking questions about a relationship that feels safe and healthy. You don't do it. So the question isn't really, am I in a toxic relationship? The real question is, why are you still asking the question instead of doing something about it? Like, that's my first instinct is like, why is this the number one Googled thing? If you have to ask, you already should know the answer, but that's just me. So my question is like, what are you actually afraid of? You know, the relationship or your life without it?
Are you asking me? Because you
No,
said ladies.
I'm asking my ladies, like,
Okay. I just
you
want to
know,
make sure. I
and
didn't want to miss
to
my
be
cue.
fair, no, to be fair, sometimes men do create environments where a woman can't trust her own instincts, right? And that's going to be like the gaslighting, the minimizing, making her feel crazy for having a concern. When a man consistently makes a woman second guess her reality, yeah, Google is an answer, okay? Instead of speaking, because like guys teach us real fast that your voice isn't going to be taken serious. So what's the point in speaking? But I'm saying, like, men, if your partner can't come to you with a problem without it turning into a fight about how she's the problem, you're part of why she's Googling the answers instead of getting them from you. And Rory, from the masculine lens, when a woman keeps asking, is this toxic, but won't leave or make a move, what do you think's really happening in her? And what do men need to understand about the role they could be playing, either in keeping her stuck? Or even men on the side of, you know, women are toxic too.
Man, when you get going, it just like
I
rolls,
know.
you know, it just flows. And I love that. But I think you dropped like 9 questions, you know, right in there, to be honest, which is cool because we have plenty to talk
Yeah.
about. But I guess if I can counter with a question, in your research that you're doing, as you're looking this stuff up, and as you talk to ladies about a quote, toxic relationship,
Yeah.
men have a much different idea of what is toxic and what is not. I think that women go to the word toxic too often, because, you know, not getting along or having an issue or having something to work through doesn't make a relationship toxic
Yeah.
to me. Okay. I guess I would ask you first, in your opinion,
Right.
what makes a relationship toxic as opposed to a relationship that has hurdles, that has things that need to be worked on, and that type of thing. You know, because I from a man's standpoint, I'd love to hear that from a woman who's willing to talk about it. If you ask, you know, somebody that you're not doing a show with, then you're attacking them.
Right. Right.
Right? So,
Right.
curious.
Well, I think it's not, it absolutely could be when one person is doing something to another person. But I think sometimes it's really just two people who bring out the absolute worst in each other. That's it. It's, they're bringing out the worst in each other. They make the worst decisions and everything is escalated. To me, that is toxic. Everything. Like, there is no, like, let's sit down and, you know, even in, I guess I can kind of talk about this because there's toxic moments in my marriage with Benjamin early. But alcohol was involved. And it wasn't a, you know, it was alcohol was involved. And the minute we took out that equation, then the toxicity is gone. So it's, you know, whoever, yeah. I
That's
would say
big.
that's it. It's bringing out the worst in each other and what are the things that are in there that are causing situations to be worse, you know? And to have two people in on that makes a difference because there's still times where, you know, after the alcohol, Benjamin would still like he fights with him, he fought with himself. He had demons he was fighting and he was kind of doing it himself and I was just kind of like the third wheel in the room. If I would have engaged, we would have been toxic for each other, but I gave him space to work out his shit, you know. So, I mean, could we have been toxic forever? I think anybody can. It's bringing out the worst in each other. I think we have to sit down and be honest. Like the behaviors that you have when you show up with that you wouldn't be proud to put on a list or to put out in front of other people, you know, like jealousy, control, emotional unavailability, maybe. You know, you're testing him, you know, going silent or he's testing her, punishing with distance. Like those can all be put under an umbrella of toxic. And I wish I knew. I mean, I don't know. I didn't dig into the comment. about it being Googled the most. I didn't say specifically like, what are the red flags? You know, I know that
Yeah,
people
sure.
throw out narcissist a lot, and like that's just an overused word, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I answer your question.
Enough, I think, to keep going with the conversation. So I appreciate that. I agree on, especially from the guy's standpoint. I think that it's you could look at any person, and we have toxic moments. We have toxic issues within ourselves. I know I've had toxic behavior in the past. I'm sure that I have. I don't think I have any now, but I'm old. I'm refined. That's what happens after all these years, right? If you're still standing, then you're not toxic anymore. But by the same token, I really think that the term is overused, and I think that's kind of where that question was coming from, was almost a place of, I don't want to say defensive posture, but when men hear, oh, you're toxic, or this is a toxic relationship, very often it's the man looks at it and goes, because you don't want to work on this, because I'm just wrong all the time, because you might have actually been wrong once, now it's toxic, stuff like that. And I think it gets thrown around too much. But yeah, if you've got a situation, I like your definition there. If you have a situation where no matter what you're doing, you're just bringing out the worst in each other. And even when you're trying to work on something, it just spirals downward, because you can't listen, you can't work, you're just waiting for the next nasty thing to say to the other person. Yeah, that's probably toxic. My first wife and I, toxic, 100%. That relationship was toxic. I don't even need to know how. I just know it was. My relationship with my wife never has been a toxic relationship. We've had toxic moments on our own and even together. But there was always the goal was always to get past it, to work through it, to
Get on
find a
the
way.
page.
Yeah, it was not to continue to fight or to win the fight, So yeah, I mean, yikes. What kind of conversation are we having today?
I know,
Hey
right?
folks, talking about toxic relationships. Let's define them first.
Well, I feel like part of what, probably the problem is, because I imagine it's like 20 somethings, 30 somethings, don't have the same experience ideally, or someone who hasn't emotionally evolved. And we're already emotional beings. And I feel like men, for whatever the reason, we see that emotional unavailability, like the hot and the cold vibes. And, the guy gives just enough to keep her, but never enough to feel secure. And I'm sure this is a younger guy thing. Like, you kind of have to grow into the masculine era. I don't know. But like in that situation, you're breeding jealousy and control. And, if a man checks out and just stops communicating, of course, I feel like we're going to test that, because testing is the only feedback left. So I feel like, if guys, because girls are toxic, and part of that is the testing, right? If you want your girl to stop acting toxic, I would say ask yourself what you stopped doing that made her feel like she kind of had to. So I think there's responsibility on both sides of this.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's, I mean, that's something that we talk about a lot, in that I teach men the same thing, is that you have to look at yourself first. You always have to say, what am I doing first, to bring out that behavior. And then, if you're really not doing stuff to bring out the behavior and it just is there, well, then maybe you're dealing with a toxic situation. That could be. It also could be that something starts off not toxic. But because it is left to fester and it's not dealt with, it's not worked through, there's no healing, by the time you get together to discuss it, the situation has become toxic. Almost like, infected, spoiled, over time. And so I think maybe there's a point where the toxicity is what means you can't go back. Something's gone on too long. Right. And even though you might want to fix it now, it's like that ship has sailed. And now trying to fix that is a toxic thing. So that's, yeah, interesting.
When you're talking to your guys, when you're coaching your group of men, what are some of the things that they're doing that they don't necessarily see that they're doing, but you can see it in them and you help them? Like that they're quiet, they're doing this stuff, creating the conditions for women to show up in a way that looks toxic.
Running their own inner narrative, like huge. And we trace a lot back to that. I mean, I had that happen today in a very small way, but I caught myself, right? My wife is off today. I'm working all day. I'm jam-packed with interviews and coaching calls. But she's off. And so she's trying to like coexist in my world of I got to be on the podcast this time. I got to get coffee made, yada, yada, right? Well, in the middle of that, she's like, she doesn't know what my schedule is. She doesn't know if I have a vacancy for the next hour or if I'm running into one in 2 minutes. And so she's like, hey, do you have time to run and grab some breakfast? What a nice thing to say, actually, to ask your husband, do you maybe want to go grab breakfast real quick? I take it as I'm working. Okay, you're sandbagging me right now. Why are you trying to take me off my routine, right? She didn't do that. I left the room, went in, took a shower. About 2 minutes into the shower, and the steam hitting my head, right, and getting through this thickness, I'm going, dude, that was 100% on you. And I'm like, babe, I need to apologize. That was really bad what I just did. And she's like, I didn't say anything. I didn't react to her, but she could tell something was wrong, right? And I said, you weren't even here for the conversation. It all happened right in here, in my head. That's what men deal with the most, is old hurt coming through today that they're imposing into the conversation. And then the woman's going, what did I do? We have to catch ourselves there.
That's so
And we do that
funny.
too much.
Yeah, it's so funny because I do feel like Benjamin left the house today and he's having one of those conversations in his head. Like I felt his energy and I'm
Ben, I'm
like,
sorry, man. Ben, I'm sorry. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I know not to poke the bear before he has to go to work because that is like the worst time. So I'm like, well, it's one of those things like I'm not responsible for his feelings. If he needs to come to me with something, he knows the door's open, but like I can't save him. I can't help him if he's not like, hey. And one of the things I'm going to tell you guys, we watched some like nonfiction, well, I don't even know, documentary thing. And this lady's teaching about those stories. And so that was a great tool we used when we were kind of growing into the next level of being adults. Okay. Like when we're growing our relationship. Is that, I could tell him, look, this is the story that's happening. Like you said this, and my brain went here, here, and here. We use that quite a bit. Like, this is the story I'm telling myself. And then he could be like, oh, that's the furthest from the truth. That's not what happened. And we talk it out. But using that story thing, I think is you guys write that down. Like maybe just open up and tell someone what the story in your head is in that moment and kind of take responsibility for it.
Yeah, I think we have to. From the guy's standpoint, the way I coach guys is kind of like the Twix commercial. Need a minute? When you feel that buildup, part of of getting through that is don't react. We're very good at stuffing our feelings, so let's use what we have at our disposal,
Not really. I
the
know he
ability
had a
to not
story.
feel.
Y'all aren't hiding them. We can see those feelings.
Okay, from a woman's standpoint, let me throw this at you, right? Okay, take my situation this morning. If it's you and me in that scenario, right? And you're seeing a guy who has a million things going on in his head, and all he does is go, give me a minute. Okay? And he walks out of the room. Now, is that better than me letting it out, risking how it's going to come out in that moment, and then trying to backtrack?
Oh,
Seriously, which one's
of
better?
course it's better just to be like, give me a minute, absolutely.
You're
And then
still mad, though.
go feel your feelings. Like that's the thing. I'm never really mad. Mornings for Benjamin are the worst. Like I'm telling, he doesn't wake up like his brain does not turn on until he's had coffee. And I'm not exaggerating. Like it doesn't function. And so he wakes up and everybody's excited to see him. We homeschool in case you guys are new here. And so there's kids in the house, there's dogs in the house, there's everybody's excited to see him. So there are times where I just watch his face and I see him crawling back inside himself and I'm like, damn, that sucks. Like it's overwhelming. I see that. So, we respect that space for the most part and give him the time to do what he has to do. And days like today, when I could tell he never kind of really clicked on, I just give him that space. When and if he wants to bring it to me, I'm here, but I can't, not going to start a big battle before work. Babe, talk about your feelings, honey.
That's
then
the
you've gone
worst.
for 12 hours. That's not fair.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, at that point, we're like, okay, if I walk out on this talk, then I'm dead because I'm walking on the talk. But if I don't, then I lose my job and then I'm really dead. So exactly where do I go from here? But okay, no, fair.
Yeah. And don't get
Fair.
me wrong, like I'm bothered. I'm bothered today. Like I'm sad he wasn't happy. I'm sad something's bothering him, but not in a way that's gonna like stunt my day or my feelings. Like I still went through and did the things where I'm taking care of myself and I could hold space for him, you know, when and if he's ready. But like it's still, I mean, it's an unsettling feeling. Nobody wants to see their person not okay. But also you guys need to realize like it is not our job on either side to fix what a person is going through. Like you can hold space and help them through it, but like at the end of the day, we kind of are all responsible for our own shit, no matter what. And I say that
Yeah.
knowing like I didn't do anything. There's nothing I did, like it's not me. Whatever his problem is, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm off the hook. Whatever is bothering him. But if I'd known, like if I had done something where I knew that maybe I offended him or I hurt his feelings, it'd be a different story, right? It would be, I would take that massive responsibility and I'd want to make sure that was fixed. But
I
outside
think
of that.
if we could ask, women in general to take anything to account, like on behalf of the guys that are in their lives. If you see your man struggling to work through something
Yeah.
and he shuts down and clams up and says, like, hey, give me a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of taking that as, oh, he can't talk to me or he's shutting down, very often what you're seeing is him honestly taking a minute
Yeah.
because he's thinking of you. He's thinking of your relationship, and he knows that if he simply reacts, there's a very good chance he's reacting from the wrong space.
Yes.
And but what happens very often with these guys too, and I hear this all the time, because I have to tell them, how to handle it, is that they react that way. They go, "Hey, give me just a minute. I got this." And then they get hammered because they're not
Yeah.
sharing, and they're not like, "Look, we don't share like y'all do, okay? We just don't." And when we're trying to, okay, I mean, imagine a guy who, after 3, 4, or 5 decades on Earth for the first time, is trying to figure out how to talk.
Right.
Takes a minute. It's not like, oh, well, I'll just share from now on. Flip a switch and now I can share.
Right.
No, I mean, it's not only, all of your own upbringing, it's hundreds of years of evolution and DNA progress. It's almost biblical. There's only a few guys talking in the Bible because those are the only guys that could speak back then. The rest of us were grunting.
Right.
Right?
I
So
get it.
give us a little grace,
Yeah.
because if your man is choking it back like that and saying, give me a second, he's doing that for you and for your relationship. Yeah.
No,
And
I
give him a
agree.
minute, he'll come back,
Yeah.
and then
I very much agree. And Benjamin is like, you better confess. He's listening right now and he's like, you better confess because that was one of my fatal flaws. And I kind of want to unpack this. It'll be a little bit of an unpacking here because we kind of bring patterns, unhealed patterns into new places. Okay. And that's probably part of why you guys are Googling shit. We'll get to that. But like, I used to do that when he would be mad and especially if alcohol was involved, I had zero chill. Like if we had a problem, we had to fix it right then. I was in that very toxic, like we can't go to bed mad era. And so I would follow him and it would just escalate. And I'd be like, no, seriously, like we could talk about this right now. We're going to figure this out right now. And it was ugly. There was a point where I had to stop and start giving him space. And the amazing thing happened is exactly what Rory is talking about, is if you give him space, like he comes back. And he comes back and he's like, shit, I'm sorry. That was stupid or whatever. But the following him hurt us 100% of the time. And, you know, I had to take responsibility for that in myself. It was a learning lesson and I'm glad he gave me the grace to get through it because I was terrible about that. Like if your guy needs space, non-negotiable, give him space.
I like that. I like that. That's fair. And I'm glad that you ponied up on that one, because yeah, I think Ben was looking for a little justice, a little
He needs
vindication
that. Yeah, he's
on that
like
one.
he needs people to know she's not perfect. It took a lot for us to get to where we are here. But my question is, you guys, if whatever relationship that you're in right now, like you need to really think about the pattern that you're running and maybe you haven't dealt with. Like, are you bringing something into the relationship that was already there? Because that's an issue. And I feel like men too, I'm not going to skip over the fact that they sometimes intentionally seek out women that have patterns too. We're both guilty of this. You know, women who are used to the chaos, women who have low self-worth, women who tolerate more because they've been conditioned to, like, if you are drawn to women who are easy to control or easy to guilt, you're not looking for a partner. You're kind of looking for someone to manage. And I feel like that is going to breed a very toxic relationship. And it's the same thing. Like, girls look for those same guys that are going to manage and control them because it's what they know. So, do you see any patterns that your guys in your coaching group have repeated that they're completely blind to, you know?
Yeah, I honestly think it's funny because we come from the opposite perspective here, but I see it the other way. I run into guys all the time that are, the hardworking guy. He's out there. He's willing to do whatever he can for his wife. He's not trying to control her. He's not trying to gaslight her. He's not trying to. He just wants to provide and have a little peace in his life and some physical intimacy and honestly save up and retire someday. A lot of the guys I'm working with are cut from that cloth. They're blue collar guys. They got good values, I mean, conservative dudes that are just, trying to get by. And there's such a push in our country right now, especially in our society, for women to abandon all of that. Because if you're like you are, right, and you have conservative values and you read your Bible and you homeschool your kids, well, then you're the problem.
Right.
That's not how it's supposed to be. You're what? Giving in to your man and being subservient or something. And the push in society is for women to stand up and literally like blow up their marriages. And if their husband isn't doing X, Y, or Z, then he's the problem. He's the bad guy. I can do better, all this stuff. I talk to so many guys who are like, I think my wife just wants to trade up.
That's
For guys to
interesting.
say that,
Yeah.
that's, the old adage of it's the men who are, walking around commandeering the relationship, and they're wearing the three-piece suit, and they're power guys, and they're convincing the women that they're wrong, and that's not most men anymore. Look, I know it happens. Nobody's innocent, but anymore, it's so much more the other way, because society doesn't reward a guy or encourage a guy to be strong and powerful anyway. That's something we have to come up with on our own, and so it's how do we become strong and powerful? And most men right now are seeking peace. They're not seeking domination. They're seeking peace, and some fulfillment in their lives. So, just again, I think I see it that direction. I think also in terms of the behavior, men do seek that out. Men get beat down, they lose their confidence, and so because they have no confidence, they don't feel like they're worthy of a good woman is going to treat them good. So they go seek out someone who's going to also treat them bad, so that they can have the self-fulfilling prophecy of feeling like crap, like I have no value, and everything else. They end up with the same abusive, wife figure, mother figure, whatever it is, over and over and over until they see that it's really about them, not feeling their own value.
That makes a lot of sense. And I feel
Sucks,
like,
but
yeah, that it does suck. So it's keeping an eye on those patterns, I think, is really important to kind of ask yourself, you know, how many times in a row have you done this? How many times in a row have you been with this guy? Different face, but it's the same guy, you know, or the same girl. Same thing. And kind of just start there. And I know you're kind of alluding to the fact in the beginning about toxic relationships, because not every hard relationship is a toxic relationship. And I feel like it does get thrown around. And I think sometimes what people are dealing with is just unresolved conflict or, you know, unmet needs or two people who never learned how to fight fair. You know, that's something I never knew about. My parents played the Cold War, you know. So I never knew what that was. I never knew how they'd communicate. My mom would just complain about what wasn't happening, and it just was very different, or you can't communicate without blowing up. But like, I do think we need to not reach for that word toxic every time something gets hard, because
I think you're completely right.
I'm getting choked up here.
It's all right. That's right. She's getting a little choked up, guys. So
Am.
let me second
It's
what Brandon
emotional.
is saying.
Yeah.
Right. While she takes a drink of water. I think you're spot on, 100%, with that. And I know you're gonna like wax on about it here in a second, but man, you should just if you're not watching the video, she's getting totally choked up in this whole thing
Yeah.
right now. So she's really worried about all you guys out there.
I am. We actually have rain in Michigan, and I feel like my air is so dry that I am literally like choked up. I feel like I'm breathing in the Sahara Desert right now. But yeah, I want you guys to ask yourself honestly, question whether or not your relationship really is toxic, or have you just never been shown what real intimacy through conflict looks like? And I'm going to tell you guys, that doesn't get to be an excuse forever, because no one set an example for me. You know, another tidbit, if you're new here, I've been on my own since I was 15. Like, I didn't have people show me anything else after that. There was no role model, there was no mentor, there was no anything. I've just figured it out as I go. And if you've never sat down once and learned how to have a hard conversation without shutting down or blowing up or walking out, then you're contributing to a dynamic that's always going to feel toxic, because no one has the tools, you know? And I'm not a fan of the stonewalling. I'm not a fan of the silent treatment, you know? And I'm not talking about, oh, well, he goes in the other room and gives me space. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The silent treatment where you make sure he could feel the ice in your veins. Yeah, I was good at that too. Very good at that. Like, cold. You could feel the ice in the room. I would shut down so hardcore. Like, refusing to engage, these are not neutral behaviors. These are behaviors that are going to make anyone feel like they are trapped. And that's over time. If you're not nurturing that, if you're not focused on that, if you're not paying attention to that, then toxic shit's going to continue to breed in your relationship. What do you see the difference being in a toxic relationship for you? How you define that? A defox de toxic relationship versus just a relationship that's just genuinely hard.
I think two things so far with what we've talked about today that really stand out to me, and that is number one that no matter what you're doing, it's always a fight. And like we said, no, the focus is not on the healing; the focus is on the fight and who can win. I think that's toxic. I also think that when one party or the other is consistently doing things that are designed to blow up the relationship. And there's a lot of gaslighting that goes into that too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is toxic at that point. You know, I'll give you an example, and we don't have to get into this right now, but a lot of what goes on with guys, of course, is the lack of intimacy. And there's a million reasons why. On both sides. So there's no like blame here. But time after time after time, there are women who intentionally withhold that. It is a bargaining chip. I have had guys tell me that, you know, their wives like make a chore list for them. And if they do this and do that, then they get physical intimacy. I'm like,
A really good idea.
you see, and I'm giving you ideas.
No,
Brandon's gonna like hate me now.
I'll never understand that side.
See, while I can understand why a woman might want to implement that, any guy who falls for that needs to just, honestly, you need help. You got to come talk to me yesterday, because you have completely turned in your man guard. It's over. You
Right.
canceled your membership, and I don't think you can get it back. That's not how that's supposed to work. And when things like that, like physical intimacy, like, you know, acts of service to one another,
Yeah.
like, you know, common courtesy, when those are out the window and like off the table, resentment builds.
Yeah.
Well, you build enough resentment, you have toxicity. That's like literally leaving an open wound to just fester.
Yeah.
You know, it will become infected. A relationship that has those things in place and nothing gets done, resentment comes in, absolutely 100%, and resentment will, if left unchecked, absolutely make the whole thing toxic. Probably all I have to add to that right now is what you were trying to say earlier.
No, I mean, I think that's a great addition with what you're saying. And I feel like these guys that are coming to you, you need to send their wives to me because I'm gonna have like a reform boot camp for them. Like, what the actual hell?
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's not okay. Like, it's absolutely not okay. So if you're listening to this and you're kind of guilty of that, like, that's not okay. And biblically speaking, that's not okay. Like, it's not to be weaponized and manipulated. That would ruin everything, and I wouldn't blame a guy for leaving at that point. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, if we do a joint summit like that, what do we call it? Listen, man, or power of
Neither. I don't know what it would I don't know what the mashup would be, but yeah, definitely. I feel couples counseling era coming soon, 'cause ladies, no, I'm not going to let your guys come and have conversations like this and spill tea that should not be spilled about a situation that should not have happened, for whatever you're feeling. And I'm not diminishing that, right? Like, feelings are real, but like, that's another thing too. Feelings are not always facts. And you can feel like everything is fine and be completely in denial. And you can also feel like your relationship is toxic and be wrong because you're burned out or you're triggered by something old in that pattern. So I want you guys today, right now, if you're someone who has Googled, is my relationship toxic? Which there's a lot of guilty people that have done this. So I know someone's listening that has done this.
Have you done this?
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Please, I never had to Google it. I knew what toxic was,
Poor
but
Ben.
we didn't really have internet when, I was growing up, so you didn't get that stuff. But I want you guys right now to separate the feeling from the evidence, and I want you to get focused on actual specific repeated behaviors that are harming you, not the he makes me feel bad sometimes, or she makes me feel bad sometimes. I want you to check into what is actually happening and be consistent watching this over time. Because when you can name the things, like, that's when you get to the bottom of this. That's when you know what you're dealing with. And when women are bringing specifics, I don't want you guys, fellas, to deflect or deny or minimize or say stuff like, that's not what happened. This is why they're calling you a narcissist, okay? Because you're saying, like, that's not what happened. Because maybe in your mind it wasn't, but this is her perspective, or that you're being dramatic, or here we go again. And these are things that happen when a guy is refusing to engage with the actual facts of his behavior. And then we're turning every conversation into a debate about her credibility. So this probably could be flipped on both sides, maybe both versions. We're doing this to each other, but it's impossible for anyone to ever get clarity when this is the case. And it's frustrating. And I think it can, end up being toxic if you can't give each other space to feel what you feel. Or, even that, like, my husband's very, he's been honest about who he is for a very long time. And even if that means sometimes he's an asshole, like, he was always honest about that. Right? Seriously, like, he's always been honest about who he is. And so part of that acceptance is taking on that part of him and moving my feelings around that space. But there is so much clarity in honesty. So if someone's going to tell you who they are, believe them. And then you can have the choice of, like, can I work with this? Am I not going to be able to work with this? Like, communication is so important, and everybody wants facts over feelings in a conversation, but no one's really getting to the meaning of that. How do we get both of our people to actually get into a place where they're dealing with reality instead of two different versions of that same story? That's where you bring in exactly what we're talking about. Tell your story. Like, honey, this is the story that's in my head today. I'm spiraling, My nervous system was a wreck, and I'd have to tell him all the time, like, this is the story I'm telling myself, and it's getting loud. Like, it's, the monsters get big when you keep it to yourself and you're talking about it in the dark, and it gets so big that you think it's impossible to get through. But the minute I tell him, I'm like, wow, that sounded dumb. I really played that story over and over in my head, and it's not real. So we have to give each other space for that communication and for taking responsibility and for accepting each other for who we are, I feel like.
I think that's huge, the piece about giving each other space. And I think that, when women want space, hey, I can't talk about this right now. I need space. Men are expected to just give it. But when a man says, I need a minute, or I need space, then it's like you following Ben around the house, pecking at him, going, no, we got to handle this now. No. Why can't you talk to me? Guys, men need a minute to process things that they aren't used to processing. So when that man says, I need a minute, and I've said this a couple times today, but he is doing it for you. He is doing it for the relationship because he's trying to do something he hasn't done before because he hopes the end result will be more positive to the woman he's trying to stay with. We don't do it for ourselves. We could be happy and fat and left alone and, in our own little worlds, and just deal with loneliness. Okay, and that'd be a whole different conversation. But we don't really want that. We want to have that companionship. We want to make our wives happy. Men at their core want to protect and provide and lead. That's what they want. That's what they crave. And when they're not doing that, something's missing. That helps get them to the point where they go, I need to do something different then, even if it's not comfortable, but I need a minute.
Well, I've seen this and I know this to be true just because I've raised boys now. Is that your guys' DNA immediately defensive for all of that? And that's where you need the space, I think. So it's I know ladies, like we have real legitimate needs. We need to feel chosen. We need to feel pursued. We need to feel protected. We need to feel heard. We need to be valued. Like those are not dramatic and it's not too much, but there is a difference between having needs and weaponizing them. So it's that level of clear communication and we need guys, right? Guys, it is just a matter of taking the space you need, but taking into account also at the moment what is being asked of you, and if she's communicating what she needs, you need to get into a space where you can hear that, outside of like being defensive, because it's how we're wired. That's how we're wired. It's not like, your wife has a special gift in needing all those things. Like that's how we're wired. That was the whole point of Adam and Eve. Okay, we got different parts so that we could come together and build something incredible. So it's very important that both sides are respecting those needs, which means the way he's wired, he needs the space. The way she's wired, no space. And if she tries to get space, you need to figure out, okay, what the hell did I do last time that she's afraid to come to me? Why is she afraid to talk to me? Ask yourselves those questions because at no point should she ever not communicate those things with you, ever? And we cannot hold each other accountable to standards that we're never going to hold ourselves to. And if you're doing this, that means like you're putting the responsibility of your happiness on someone else. And it is no one's job to make you happy. So I guess the question is, if you're Googling if your relationship is topic and or toxic, and none of these topics really kind of aligned, because you're like, no, it's really toxic. Like my question is, why are you still in it? I really want you to ask yourself. And 9 times out of 10, the people that probably Googled this need to not be in that relationship. And that's coming from someone who, I genuinely want to help America's families stay together. Okay. I want mom and dad to be okay. And I want them to raise their kids in the same house. Like I'm after that because everyone else is destroying that. So I want this show to be the core of you guys knowing that I'm rooting for you. But if you're staying with someone because of a fear of being alone or financial dependency or kids or history, if that's the only reason you're there, if you're just hoping it'll go back to what it felt like in the beginning, like that's real stuff. And none of these are reasons that you should stay in something that is genuinely destroying you.
Totally agree.
And I feel like it's just that radical honesty with yourself. And guys do that too. I know. I mean, I think we literally talked about it, about how guys, stay because they don't want to go to court. They don't want to, fight for custody, and they don't want to do these things. And that's heartbreaking because if you have to get to the core then. And I think focus matters, perspective matters. If I wake up and I right away, I'm going to start focusing on everything that my husband does that pisses me off, I'm going to see it. My brain's going to find the proof and truth of everything that he does that's annoying, of all the reasons I want to kill him. Okay. And actually, I mean, what did he tell me last night? Something, I don't know what was happening. And he was like, well, just make sure you cook dinner first. Cause like, we're going to die by a tornado or something. He's like, cook dinner first. And I was like, kids, dad's, obit or memorial will be tomorrow morning. See you guys at 9, right? Little things. He walks the line. But it is perspective. And it's a matter of number one, waking up and making sure you feel good. Like, I'm sure if I didn't feel good today, and Benjamin has that story in his head, I'm sure if I didn't feel good, I probably would be taking it a lot harder. But like, I did the things that matter. I took care of myself this morning. I ate right. I got my protein. I went to the gym. I did my weights. I did the treadmill, 10,000 steps. Like, I did all these things that I know fill my cup, read the Bible, all that stuff. To make sure I feel whole and I feel good, And in that moment, what he's feeling doesn't have to be about me. And I feel like if you're walking around insecure and you're not taking care of yourself and you're not feeling good, you're going to make everything about you. So, what is that perspective? Take responsibility for how you're feeling. How are you treating yourself? Are you good to yourself? Because if you're not treating yourself good and you expect your spouse to be treating you good, you're on something. You're on something. My husband's not responsible for making me feel good. I do that with my daily choices. So it's that perspective and how you're treating yourself. Look at the things he does that's amazing. Look at the things that she does that's amazing. We're all in it right now. The Roys of the world are stuck at the desk podcasting for hours on end. The Brandons are doing literally everything. And the Benjamins are going to work. It's give each other grace. We're all in the arena right now. And whatever your season is, like, I promise you, it's just a season and it's worth getting to the truth of this. But if someone's toxic, they're toxic. I say, genuinely, if you're Googling this, you're probably in the wrong relationship. Got anything for our people?
I think that if you're Googling it, you're definitely you're looking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll always find what you're looking for. And if you're actually saying, hey, am I in a toxic relationship? That's probably the biggest indication that you have that you are, and it's time to go.
Yeah.
And who else wants to know if you're in a toxic relationship or if you feel like you're in one? Your husband. He wants to know too.
Imagine going to him before you go to Google. Like,
What do you know?
I'll never get that in my women's groups. I'm like, wow, what if you brought this to your husband and not 30,000 women who are going to eat him alive? Okay.
There's an idea.
Yeah. You guys, this is both sides of the mic. This is what it looks like when we stop throwing blame and start just holding mirrors up to ourselves, at each other. We get the full picture. Whether your relationship is toxic or it's hard or it's worth fighting for, or somewhere in between, none of it gets better with silence. None of it gets better with telling everybody else and not your person. None of it gets better with denial or waiting for the other person to go first. It gets better when two people decide to be honest with each other and they get on the same page to say, hey, we're on the same team. Like, how do we get back there today? What's the one thing we can do today to take a step closer back to the same ball field? Okay. If this episode hit you somewhere real, please, if it gave you something to sit with, something to bring to your partner, something to finally say out loud, then don't keep it to yourself. AF says, share the show. Don't be a hoe. And that's what I'm saying. Share the episode, okay? Send it to your girl who keeps asking the question but won't make the move. Send it to your boy who knows something is off but doesn't have the words. Send it to the couple you know who is struggling but they keep acting like everything is fine. And then I need y'all to hit subscribe right now so you never miss an episode. Leave a review because it's genuinely going to help people find this show. Make sure you check out Rory over at Power of Man. Make sure you check out Listen Bitch Podcast. Links are in the show notes. That's it. I'm Brandon. Thank you, Rory. Both sides of the mic. We'll see you guys next week.